We turn to the psalm which we read, Psalm 71. And we shall read again verses 14 and 15. Psalm 71, verses 14 and 15. But I will hope continually, and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. Amen. It is clear from the content of this psalm that it was penned by David in his old age. And the content might respect the saints in this world who have walked with God for many years and may be nearing the end of their course. And as we often reflect, the Christian life does not become easier the longer we live it. In some ways it seems to become more difficult. Certainly the enemies of God's people do not slack. They are ever pursuing the godly, and chief among them, of course, is Satan himself, making use of a world fallen into sin and the enmity in the heart of the natural man against God and all that belongs to God, but making use also of the flesh of the child of God, our sinful nature. And you and I know that that remains. The Apostle Paul had a conflict with it, even as a mature and much used servant of God. And so will all the Lord's people, until the very moment when they take that step from time into eternity. The encouragement we have in this psalm and in our text is that David is displaying a confidence in God. Things are what they are. He has troubles aplenty, sore troubles, and many, many foes. Yet, he continues with the Lord. And we note the very word which begins our text, the word but. And how often in the Bible that word occurs, and it is from the Holy Spirit, to indicate a contrast with what has gone before. These things are so, but I have my enemies. I face opposition. My troubles are great. I am at times cast down. But I will hope continually. Friends, we should be like that. And if we have grace in our souls, we shall be like that. Sin is present, but grace is present also. And by grace, we get the victory. We are not defeated. We may indeed feel at times as though we are making hardly any progress, even going backward. But we know in our heart of hearts that we are alive unto God, and the Lord is being gracious to us, and we have a growing desire for himself and for heaven. We would seek then God's blessing as we consider what it is to be confident in God, as David speaks of this, and to notice three things which make up his confidence in God. And firstly, we have David's hope. But I will hope continually. That is encouraging, is it not? His hope will not be in fits and starts. It will be there, present in his soul, and he will actively hope. He will take the word of God to heart. He will consider it, and he will be strengthened in his hope by God's word. It is always in thinking upon God that our hope is strengthened, not in thinking upon ourselves. It is in thinking of Christ crucified and Christ risen and Christ ascended and at God's right hand and Christ coming again that the believer finds his or her hope strengthened. We should have a lively hope, and that hope should be evident to ourselves and to those who know us or meet with us. And here is the thing about hope and makes it such a blessed thing for the Christian. As we go on, as we age, we may have less and less. We perhaps lose our health and our strength. We perhaps lose our livelihood, even some of our possessions. By and by, loved ones may depart before us. We are losing in that sense, losing the things that pertain to this world, this life. But as these things go, and indeed because they are now gone and shall not be recovered, we should rejoice, and we do rejoice, in what we shall have, what we shall have. And therein lies hope. Hope based upon the promises of God. Hope based upon the covenant of God with his people, sealed by the blood of Christ. Do we have this hope? The hope concerning the promises of God. What the Lord has in store for us. It is in store in Jesus Christ. And by faith in Jesus Christ, we partake of God's goodness and we are confident of what we shall have in eternity. God gives his people grace and glory. Grace here, glory to come. We cannot expect to enjoy here what belongs to the state of glory alone, but we can anticipate it, we can relish it, and hope serves in that way. Looking forward, looking upward, longing for the time when all our conflict shall be at an end. Never to be resumed, when all our sorrows will be gone, never to be experienced again, when suffering of every kind shall be finished. This is the sure hope of God's people. David had it. All those we read of in Scripture who knew the Lord and was saved with an everlasting salvation, they knew it. And do we not know it also? In some measure. This is how hope works. It has the promises. Faith believes the promises. hope longs for the fulfillment of them. And that hope shall be realized. Nothing can prevent it. And you may be saying, well, my faith is weak. My grace is small. I wonder whether I shall stay the course. I wonder whether I shall endure to the end. Perhaps I will so stumble and fall as to never be recovered. Well, even to think like that is wrong for the child of God. It is a denial of the promise of salvation, which depends for its fulfillment not on us or anything to do with us, but upon Christ. And because of that, it is most secure. And so we should be filled with joy when we consider God's promise to his people. If we are partakers of that promise, well then, we shall have all that the Lord has promised to his own. We shall enter in. We shall abide. We shall be glorified together with Jesus Christ in the world to come. A bright future for the believer. And we may say a bright future for the church. We believe that there is a time to come when the Lord will do greater things than he has ever done in gathering sinners to himself, in bringing many to know Jesus Christ, even in lands which so far have largely been untouched by the gospel and indeed are still hostile to the gospel. And in the light of that promise of God, scattered here and there in the Word, but found especially in the book of Psalms, we should pray with hope that God will do exactly that. David's hope, I will hope continually, because the promises of God, they are lasting promises, and they are sure. And then David's praise. And will yet praise thee more and more. And this is admirable. Here is an old believer. Here is one who does not know any intermission in terms of the adversities he faces. They are there, and his enemies speak against him, and they lay wait for his soul, and they're taking counsel together. And this is what they're saying: God hath forsaken him, persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. For David knows otherwise. David knows he has a strong deliverer in his covenant God. And so he will praise God. Whatever his enemies may threaten. And he will continue to add to his praise of God. The longer he goes on, day after day, well, he will add praise. And that is fitting for the believer. We should think of our time in this world in this way. Each day brings us one day nearer to our heavenly home. That's the opposite way of looking at things than the world, or than the world ought to view things. For those of the world, each day that passes is one day less to be spent enjoying the things that please those of the world, the pleasures of sin. All their joys are earthly, all their hopes are earthly, and so they see that things are fading away. They live in denial of that. They hope against hope that they shall have many, many years left in this world. But those years will be full of trouble, and those years may not bring the fulfillment of any of the hopes that they have. They have no reason to be joyful, and they certainly do not give praise to God. But if we are believers, the Lord is our portion. All our hopes and all our joys are bound up with Jesus Christ, Saviour, who is at God's right hand and who oversees all that happens in this world, directing every event to God's glory and the good of his own cause and people. No doubt David felt his praise of God was very inadequate. Every believer is like that. Oh, to praise God as I should, to be more grateful to God. This is a matter of thanksgiving. We receive many mercies from God each day. Perhaps in a routine way we thank God for them. But we should really praise him, even with our whole heart, for all good that we have in providence and in grace. Because we must understand that we do not deserve it, even the least crumb or drop of water. It's all in Christ. It's all of his loving kindness. It's all of his sovereign good pleasure. He chose out salvation for his chosen people. To praise him for that, when he passed so many by, left them to the consequences of their sin, and took pity upon us. Do you praise the Lord day and daily, and many times each day, for his great mercy and grace to your soul? And do you do so more and more because each day you add sin to sin? That is how we are. We carry about this sinful flesh, and it is expressing itself all the time. It's spoiling the best things that we do and say and think. And yet, in the Lord, we have mercy. We have forgiveness. We enjoy the cleansing of the precious blood of Christ and the renewing of his Spirit. To praise him even for that. The praise of the saints should be ascending to God. We read in many places in Scripture of the eagle and references made to its flight and how it soars upward. It has wings in the design of God to enable it to do that. And it rises up on the air current. The warm air lifts it up. It goes higher and higher into the heaven, as it were. And can we see ourselves like that? The Lord renewing our strength, When the Lord renews your strength, your spiritual strength, well then praise will come forth more freely, more abundantly. And yes, even in the midst of your trouble, you may be weighed down with trouble. That's the tendency of the afflictions that we have. They weigh us down. And they make us almost to be earthbound in our thoughts and our feelings, our moods. But when grace quickens us, it lifts us up. It enables us to soar. And praise is the vehicle whereby we draw heavenward. Prayer also. And we're coming before the Lord. And we're telling Him what we think, how we feel, and how we bless Him and adore Him because of His kindness to us. The believer is on the upward way. And that's only by grace. And the enabling of grace. Walking that way until the very day that we enter the immediate presence of God. Then the praise will indeed be as it ought to be. No sin to mar it. No unbelief. No discouragement. All is there in glory. As it ought to be. Even the praise of God's saints. The third and final thing is David's testimony or witness. And we have that in verse 15, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. This is David's resolve. By grace, he will show forth from his own lips two things. Or we might say a twofold thing. Righteousness and salvation. God's righteousness and God's salvation. We say a twofold thing because God's salvation cannot be separated from his righteousness. The salvation his people enjoy is not at the expense of his righteousness. It's consistent with it. And that is explained by the cross. And what happened at Calvary. Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, in our nature, as our substitute, living in obedience to God, fulfilling the terms of the covenant of grace, whose terms required that he should suffer and die in the place of his people. He should pay for their sins. He should experience the wrath of God, the vengeance of God upon those sins instead of his people. Because God is righteous. And the righteousness of God could only be satisfied in one who is himself God, taking our nature, the obedience rendered to God in our nature, but the obedience of one who is himself infinite, eternal, and unchangeable, God manifest in the flesh. Christ willingly and lovingly sacrificed himself for his people. At the cross, divine righteousness was magnified. Truth met with mercy, righteousness and peace kissed mutually. There was an embrace. All the attributes of God shining forth at Calvary. Never is God glorified and his perfections magnified more than at Calvary. And the cross is all our boast, because we have no righteousness of our own. We cannot glory in anything we have done, any quality we have. We glory in Jesus Christ, in his perfect righteousness. That righteousness has become ours. God's free gift through faith in Christ crucified. All the day David would show forth by his lips, by his praise, by his testimony, the righteousness and the salvation of God. And so should we. And so may we, by grace. And the more we reflect upon the wonder of what the Lord has done in Jesus Christ, and how he's took us from a fearful pit, from the miry clay, and placed our feet upon the rock Christ Jesus, the more we will show forth his praises. And he says, I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. And that is indeed how it is with God's people. If any man praises you, be wary of it. Do not entertain it. We do not deserve it. If we have ever accomplished any good thing, it is the Lord's work in us. And that should keep us where we need to be, at the foot of the cross, and bowing down before the Lord, and walking humbly with our God. I know not the numbers thereof. And that might be a reference, we would think, to the number of David's days, the number of days he had left in this world. And no doubt David had that in view. How much time do I have left to serve God in this way, in praising him and bearing testimony to his righteousness, his salvation? But the numbers thereof may well refer to God's salvation, considered not in the once for all spiritual deliverance that we have, as David had, when the Lord had mercy upon him, when he was quickened, when he was justified and adopted, but in terms of the deliverances we get from God as believers, because the context is his enemies, and how they are pursuing him, and his cry to the Lord, be not far from me. Oh my God, make haste for my help. And that was not the only time he had so cried to the Lord. He could not tell the number of God's deliverances. the number of answered petitions when he had sought the Lord's help in his trouble. I know not the numbers thereof. Time and time and time again, the Lord has heard my poor and fainting cry, and he has sent his help, and I have been delivered from those who have been my enemies wrongfully. Can we say the same? Many difficulties. And the Lord coming to our aid. David praised God for every one of those deliverances. The times when the Lord saved him out of his distresses. But then he looked forward eagerly and with hope and praising God to his final deliverance. And that deliverance would take place in God's appointed time. And David would take his place before the throne of God and of the Lamb in heaven for all eternity. Well, do you look forward to that? How we should. And how we should be thankful to God that we have such a hope. And a grounded one. Out of the Word of God. And the Gospel of Christ. And the promises which are attached to that Gospel. And the evidences of the Lord's gracious work in our hearts. May we too praise God continually, and let our mouths show forth God's righteousness and his salvation. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord, grant that we too, when we are old and grey-headed, will not be forsaken by thee, but that thou wilt maintain in us a liveliness spiritually, a vigour and zeal for thy glory and honour, and that we, like thy servant of old, who has left these things on record, will be praising thy name and blessing thee each day that we rise for thy salvation, and for that hope that belongs to thy people. And may we have that anticipation of it. Faith giving way to sight. To be with the Lord in the glory above. Bless thy word to us. And pardon our sin for Jesus' sake. Amen.